chapter 20, as we continue looking at the Ten Commandments. For any who are visiting with us this morning, or if you've been away on holiday or whatever, we are journeying through the Ten Commandments just now. God is really blessing us. He's really challenging us as well in so many ways, as we find out Thursday by Thursday at our Bible studies. So let me encourage you, if you've not been along on a Thursday evening, then get a sheet this morning from Margaret with the questions. Get yourself along here at 7:30 on Thursday. There's plenty of room in this building for all of us. So if you want to think through more during the week what God says to us through his word here this morning, then come on Thursday. It would be great to see you. Before we think specifically on the fifth commandment this morning, a few weeks ago I highlighted one book that might be good for you to read. It's always good to read the Bible, and you have never to stop reading that, but there are other books that are there for our encouragement and for our blessing. This is one which is a fairly challenging read, actually. A gentleman called Ed Clowney has written a book, and it says How Jesus Transforms the Ten Commandments. So he's actually looking at the Ten Commandments through the eyes of Jesus, and he explains for us, as it tells us in the back here, how Jesus intensifies the law and expands its scope to every situation in life. There's a challenge for you, if ever there was. Great book, some good questions at the back for you to look at as well. You can borrow mine in a few weeks' time after the series is over, when I've finished reading it all. And if not, get online, find yourself a good bookshop and buy yourself a copy and read on. But we're here to think on the fifth commandment, an old grim fairy tale. Just to begin with, I don't mean grim as in bad and down, I mean grim as in the great writer of fairy tales. Once upon a time, a young couple with a son were forced to take in the husband's ageing father. That could be some of us here. The young wife, being a modern sort, didn't like the idea, but agreed to do it for her husband's sake. She told the old man, "We eat at such and such a time. If you want to eat, you'd better be at the table when the meal is served." At first, the old man came right on time, but eventually he came late. And to teach him a lesson, the young wife had the old man eat in a corner all by himself. More time passed, and the old man began having trouble with his food. He couldn't seem to properly hold and handle a knife and fork. After enduring the situation as long as she could, the young wife, in exasperation, had her husband buy a feeding trough, the kind you use to feed animals. "Now then," she said, "if you're going to eat like a pig, you're going to have a trough like a pig." Just as well we're honouring our fathers and mothers this morning, and we'll tell you the error of her ways. Everything seemed to go well for a few weeks, until one day, when the young couple couldn't find their four-year-old son, they wondered where he had gone. They searched around the house, they went outside into the garden, and they heard this noise, bang, 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 coming from the garden shed behind the house. Walking to the door of the shed, they discovered the young boy busily nailing boards together. "What are you doing, sweetheart?" asked the young wife. "Oh," said the boy, "I'm making a trough for when you get old." The moral of the story: your children will treat you the way you treat your parents. One generation teaches another, and our children learn to honour us precisely as they see us honouring our parents. The fifth commandment turns our attention a little from God alone to thinking on our life with others. And it begins with family life, which is so important. Let's read Exodus 20 and verse 12. Exodus 20 and verse 12. "Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. One verse, but oh so much to say. Many homes today are in shambles because we have forgotten the Ten Commandments. We've ignored God's guidelines for good and healthy living. And nowhere is this more evident than the fifth commandment and life at home. It is fitting that this commandment should fall here. It divides the commandments related to God from those related to our fellow man. You see, when we are out of step in the home, we are out of step with God and with our fellow human beings. It is in the parental relationship that we learn first how to submit to the Lord and then how we are to serve our fellow human being. This morning I want to spend some time thinking on family life. We will do this from the parents' perspective and also from the child's, because I think both are essential for us to understand how best to live and get the most out of family life, how best to live out that commandment to honour our father and our mother. We begin by seeing that respect is demanded. This verse makes it plain that parents are to be held in high regard by their children. Notice that Ephesians 6 and 2 backs this up from the New Testament in Paul's writing, where he writes, honour your father and mother. The words are very simple. Honour your father and your mother. Nothing tricky there for us, is there? And the key word in that phrase is honour. The Hebrew word is kabod, which means to be heavy. The basic sense is to treat someone with respect because they carry a heavy weight of authority. Sometimes we speak of certain dignitaries as being heavyweights. That's exactly the sense of the Hebrew. It means to treat your parents as VIPs because they carry a heavy weight of authority. To honour means to treat with dignity, to treat with respect. Honour also means to value and to treasure. The command means to treasure one's parents. Unfortunately, a lot of children do not realise that their parents are a treasure to cherish. Listen to these words. Children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They contradict their parents. They chatter before company. They gobble up dainties at the table. They tyrannise their teachers. And guess what? These words weren't just written yesterday by a parent. These words were written many hundred years ago, actually, by the Greek philosopher Socrates. Respect is demanded. Children are to hold mum and dad in high respect. They are not just two old fools who are out to ruin our lives and to ruin our fun. They have been placed in our life by the sovereign will of Almighty God to be overseers until we reach maturity. In the early stages of life, while a child is maturing from birth to adulthood, they are to be in absolute subjection to their parents. Children are to offer unquestioning obedience to their mum and dad. How often do we do that? When a child refuses to obey his or her parents, they are in effect refusing to submit to the Lord our God. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That respect, though, does not stop when as children we grow into adults and leave the family home. Scripture encourages us that there will come a time, Genesis 2 and 24, when we will leave father and mother and be united to a wife or to a husband. It's the natural order of things. That's what happens. Nowadays we tend to leave home earlier and head off to university for 4 years and then get a job, and only later do we enter that marriage commitment. Either way, we leave home and we somehow think we leave behind our parents and our respect for them. Nonsense, says God's word. Even though we leave their home and leave their authority, we are still to respect our parents, and we're to call to mind the sacrifices they have made to bring us into the world and to nurture us to maturity. We should call to mind the long nights spent beside the sick bed, the many hours worked to provide food, shelter and clothing. We should remember the love dispensed in abundance for so little in return. Even though we're out from under their authority, we still owe them our respect. They deserve nothing less. This fifth commandment shows us that respect is demanded. Our parents have earned our respect. Most of them, we'll come to that in a second, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 and 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. It also pleases God, as we thought a moment ago in Colossians 3 and 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Respecting and honouring our parents also leads to long life. This verse that we read in Exodus 20 reminds us of that. Honour your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. And it also ensures God's success. As we read in Deuteronomy 5:16, honour your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. And there's one extra tough bit in here for us though. One really tough bit. Respect is demanded. Full stop. Period. It does not say honour your parents because they are good and they do the best they can for you. It does not say honour them because they deserve it. It does not say honour them because they have treated you right. It says honour your father and your mother. Now for some of us that's difficult. For some of us we've had lousy parents. Unfortunately, many children grow up with parents who are absent, parents who are abusive, parents who are unkind or cruel. Your parents may have split up when you were very young. One or both parents may have a drink problem or a drugs problem. Any of those facts will obviously affect your relationship with your parents. But, and this is a huge but for us, your parents' failure to be all they should have been does not excuse us from this fifth commandment. Respect is demanded, and that is hard for us. Hard for us to give when our parents haven't been all that they could or should have been. And this is where, thankfully, we have the grace of God at work in our lives to help us to work our way through this. Respect is demanded. However, to encourage us a little, as parents we can help our children follow this command. We can make it easy for them. There is a sense in which if you want your children to honour you, you yourself must be honourable. For you see, as we think in family life this morning, we recognise that there is a responsibility of parents. A responsibility of parents. We are given the awesome responsibility of bringing up our children. The scriptures encourage us in various places about that. Deuteronomy 6, for example, speaks to us about our relationship with our children. We're to spend time with them and teach them God's word. Ephesians 6 talks of instructing them well and not exasperating them. Let me highlight a few ways we can help our children and bless them in life. Firstly, we can praise our children. I don't know how many kids we work with through the church here who have never received decent praise at home from their parents. It is evident in their behaviour to begin with. And when we do praise them for something, they respond with a huge smile on their face, sometimes because it's the first time it's happened. At other times they are just so surprised and don't know how to react because no one's ever praised them before. The same thing is true for our own children. Praise them when they do well. Praise them for the great things they do. You know, I don't remember much praise at home from my father growing up. My mum was different. I almost seem to remember my dad's temper and my dad's shouting. Friends, we will do more good for our children if we praise them and encourage them. When was the last time you hugged your child? When was the last time you told them that you were proud of them? When was the last time you bragged about them? And it's good sometimes to do that in front of them, just so that they know in public how proud you are of them. You have no idea how proud Morrig and I are of our kids. You know, they have their faults. They're like every other kid in the world. They're like us still today. They have their faults. But you have no idea how proud I am that Andrew went and stepped out this summer going to places and teaching kids about God's amazing love in kids' work. How pleased I am when he picks up that guitar and plays away on a Sunday evening doing something I've always wished I could do, but music and me just don't seem to work together. A great lad. His father's double in so many ways, which is good and also bad. You've no idea how proud I am of Rebecca. of the girl that she is, of the way she looks after the young kids in the church and helps their parents out in that way, how she gets along with the kids in school who other kids won't go alongside and talk to. They are great kids. Praise your kids. Praise them at home in private. Praise them publicly as well, that they know what they mean to you. Praise your kids, even if they're older now. And there's a challenge for a lot of us here, eh? Praise your kids even though they're older now. Praise them for being who they are. We encourage them greatly when we praise them. Nothing can take the place of praising our children. Praise them for their achievements. Praise them for what they do in the workplace. Praise them for what they do in their own church life. Praise them. Children need all the support they can get. We have a responsibility to praise our children. We have a responsibility to listen to our children. Children love to talk and to share what's happening in their lives. At times, we wish they would be quiet, but we should listen and encourage them. I'm in the great position now of being at home most days when the kids come in from school at 4 o'clock. It's a wonderful thing. I'm often at my desk in the study when they come in, usually about 5 minutes apart. I don't quite know how that happens when they come from the same school, but one always gets home quicker than the other. And you know, they sit down on the sofa and they study and they tell me what's happened during their day. They tell me about the homework they're to do. They tell me what their friends have been saying. It's great to hear what they've been up to. Great to encourage them. But we get that wrong sometimes. I think fathers, we fathers, are the worst at that. Our children talk, but we don't listen. We're too busy reading the paper, watching the television, too busy working away on the computer in front of us. Usually we expend so much energy on the job that we have nothing left for our children. Take time to listen to them. We also have the responsibility to discipline our children. Children need to learn right from wrong. They have to have boundaries in life and be able to know when they're going too far. One of the biggest challenges we faced in my time here in kids' work in Cornton is that very thing of discipline. Some children don't get it at home, and it can be hard to teach them that there are rules in place and that these rules are not to detract from their fun, but they're actually there to help them have more fun and enjoy themselves. And we discipline our own children in order to help them live better lives and enjoy lives the way God intended. As parents, we're often too hard on our children or too soft on them. We have to find a good balance. And the great thing is, if you discipline your children from a young age, you will not need to do as much discipline as they grow, because they know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And the best way we can help our children grow and develop is to be good role models. Paul encourages us in his writings in the New Testament to follow him as he follows Christ Jesus. Our children copy everything we do, and that ought to be one of the most terrifying thoughts for us. It's one of the most terrifying truths of parenthood. If we have bad habits, our children will pick those up. We need to watch how we live. And here's a poem that sums that up with convicting clarity for us. The power of a father's example. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do anything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever arise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do, he will say and do in your way when he's growing up like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right. And his little ears are open and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you. And that's just as true for mothers as it is for fathers. Now, of course, having thought that respect is demanded, having looked at the responsibility of parents, we come to the heart of the text as we head towards the end this morning. Responsibility of children. And this responsibility is not just for young children growing up in the house. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking, I'm safe, this is for the little ones who've headed out to Sunday school, then you're wrong. It's for all of us who are children and have parents. If you're a grown-up child, this is as much for you. After all, How many young children were at the foot of Mount Sinai when God gave the commandments? Now, we can't be sure, it doesn't tell us, but I think it's a pretty fair assumption that there were far more grown-up children at the foot of the mountain as Moses went up to receive the commandments. This is God's way of telling us how to treat our parents. Firstly, we are to obey them. Now, that's easy for us to think about if we are referring to young children. Part of the growing up process is dealing with the rules and regulations our parents put in place. We know they're for our good. We know that our parents love us and want the best for us. And so we listen to our parents and we do as they request. After all, too much freedom is bad for a child. We are meant to obey and follow our parents. But surely that ends when we grow up and leave home. After all, many of us look forward and have looked forward to leaving home so we didn't have to keep obeying our mum and our dad. Most of us have heard it said that while you don't have to obey your parents, you always have to honour them. And that's true enough, but I don't think it grasps the full biblical implication of this fifth commandment. Our modern attitude of moving away so we don't have to obey would have shocked Moses, it would have shocked Paul in the New Testament. In their eyes, children were always to obey their parents, with the only possible exception being when the parents ask the children to do something that violates God's law. In the biblical mindset, the older your parents get, the more wisdom that they attain, and the greater your responsibility to obey their instruction. So if you're getting older here this morning, then you are wiser, and we look up to you and we respect you. Indeed, in some cultures today, this is still the case, particularly in China. You know, when I took over from Cliff doing the chaplaincy work at the university, it was fine with British students on the whole. They would sit and chat to me and relate to me, not a problem. I always still have a struggle with overseas students, particularly Chinese students, because I'm too young. And that's a good thing for me, I'm too young. But it's a bad thing in the way that they look to respect older people. They had an instant respect for Cliff because of his age, because of his maturity, and because of his wisdom. I've got some way to go to be that age. I've got some way to go to be that mature. And I've certainly got some way to go to be that wise. But we need to look up to our parents and obey them still. Does that mean a grown-up child should obey his elderly parents? Yes, that's what it means. Sounds shocking for us, doesn't it? It's only because we've drifted so far away from the biblical mindset. In God's eyes, we are forever children, always under obligation to honour and, as far as possible, to obey our parents. As children, we also have the responsibility to help our parents. This is easier for us, isn't it? Growing up, as we always did, we did chores around the house. We were to help with the dishes and with the tidying up. That was something that was expected of us and something we did. Didn't do us any harm. In fact, it even taught us how to look after our own places when we left home. In ancient Israel, household duties were the responsibility of the whole family. Children helped run the household. In today's society, we've reversed the roles. Now it seems that parents work for their children, mother, father, and children though need to work together for the good of all. And that continues as we grow older. Indeed, it becomes more incumbent upon us to look after and help our parents. As our parents get older, we care for them and help them practically. My father goes down to my gran several times a week to get her shopping and to take it down for her because she's not as able to get out anymore. She can't do her garden. He goes down every week without fail and cuts her grass and does the weeding and chops the hedge and all the rest of it. Friends, it does not matter what age we are at, we can help our parents, and helping our parents shows that we honour them. We're also encouraged to love our parents. Some children are ashamed of their parents. They're embarrassed over their parents' home, their parents' job, their parents' appearance, physical appearance. I often need to apologise to my children for the way I dress, because I never think I'm always dressed properly. The Lord wants children to have love for their parents. The best children are those who have unconditional and unashamed love for their mum and their dad. We have to remember that our parents love us. They loved us from an early age. They've loved us through our early years and through school. They still love us today. we ought to love them, not because we have to, but we love them because of who they are and what they mean to us. And as we think on loving them, we remember, of course, all the sacrifices that they made for us out of love. Mothers experiencing physical pain in childbirth. Both parents working hard to provide food, shelter, clothing and luxuries for their children. Our love should be sincere. It needn't be sloppy and slushy, but it has to be sincere. And we should show our love. Show it practically by how we relate to them and help them. Show it meaningfully as we talk to them and of them. And so, having been reminded that respect is demanded, having thought of the responsibility of parents and of children, we finish briefly, very briefly, with results. Let's get back to the verse in Exodus 20 and 12. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord has promised to bless us if we show due respect and honour to our parents. I believe we can take this promise literally, although I do have to advise, I think, that it is a general principle, not so much for an individual, but a general principle for a society who adopt that principle and live with it. We all know obedient children who have died young, and we know disobedient children who have grown old. So the principle and the promise is this: children who are taught to obey God by honouring their parents will grow up to be responsible citizens, and responsible citizens make for a strong community and a strong nation. One of the things our society is lacking most today is family life. Family life is valuable and it's important. In fact, I believe it shapes a people, a community, a city and a nation. I think this commandment backs it up for us, and the repeat of it too in Deuteronomy 5 with a change of phrase, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Things will undoubtedly go well for us when we go through life living God's way. Let's make sure we do that as we honour our father and our mother. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for moments spent in your word this morning. We thank you for the encouragements that are there. We thank you for the promise that is in that commandment, the first commandment with a promise in it, that we will live long if we honour our father and our mother. And Lord, we thank you for that promise. But we pray that you be with us in the challenge that goes with it. The challenge of honouring our father and our mother. And Lord, for some of us, we admit that is hard to do when our upbringings haven't been what we would have wanted or expected, when we've struggled. But Lord, we pray that you would help us by your grace to still show a level of respect for our parents. Lord, we pray as children that you would help us to honour our parents, that we would obey them and listen to them, that we would help them. Father God, help us to do that day by day, from the youngest to the oldest, even as our parents get older. Help us to respect them more and to honour them more and to help them more. Father God, for those of us who are parents, parents of young children and parents of older children, help us to take our responsibilities seriously. Help us to look after them and provide for them. Help us to listen to them and to praise them. Father God, help us to give them good role models to follow. Father God, may we show them the best way in life, and may we point them to Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only one who was without sin. And Father God, help us to do that in this day and in this age. So Father God, help us as we leave this place this morning to think through this word during this afternoon and on into the coming week. Help us to apply it to our lives in a proper and a meaningful way. Lord, this morning, even this afternoon as we go, for those of us with parents, help us to phone them and share our love with them. For those of us who are parents, help us to be in touch with our children, praising them and reminding them of our love for them. Lord, may we always remember to honour our father and our mother. May we remember that family life is important, for you have ordained it, you have made it to be. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.